What are they good for? Waffles? Nothing else.
Chocolate.
Chocolate? All right, fine. Waffles chocolate and waffles. Chocolate. Fuck, chocolate waffles? Is that allowed?
Yeah,
Google,
is.
Are chocolate waffles allowed? Oh my god, chocolate waffles are absolutely allowed. Thanks, Google. Thank you, computer. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Football Absurdity Podcast. My name is Jeff Crisco, here with my co-hosts Walker Kelly and Mike Valverde. Walker got a red card in the last episode, and folks, you won't believe it. You won't believe what happened. Walker is back.
I'm back.
Walker, how's it going?
Ah, pretty good. Shout out to the Big Wet President, folks. He intervened on my behalf. So I'm back on the podcast. Won't be saying anything nice about him. We went Mamdani on his ass.
Damn, Walker just stood there with the biggest smile and was like, "You're a fascist." And he was like, "I love this. I love this guy.
This guy. What are you gonna do, man?"
Yeah. Oh man. All right, Mike, how you doing?
Doing well. I'm number one on TikTok.
Oh, great.
That's what Trump said. I don't know if he caught
that. Oh, did he say that? Oh my god, this fucking guy. I don't know about this guy. This Trump fella. I don't know about him.
I don't know either.
Oh boy. All right. Mike, then, you doing better or worse than Team USA?
I'm doing better. At least Spain won. So I have to, the United States is probably going to lose this game, so I don't have to torture myself between watching Spain and USA. So,
I was sitting pretty today. Whoever won Spain and Portugal, I was like, perfect. Because I'm Spanish and Portuguese. I was like, whoever wins, I win.
That's right. Yeah, I'm doing pretty good. Despite the 3-1 drubbing that the United States is getting right now, but they deserve it. They've been playing pretty sloppy defensive wise and elsewhere. So we'll see. We'll see when it's still 30 minutes or so left. So we'll see what ends up happening.
All right. So that's it. That's football talk in football absurdity. Now it's shipped over to football from football. Shall
football
we?
To football.
Football to football. All right. Today we will be talking the AFC South. But of course, you know that if you click the preview, which is, I already made it last night. It's Trevor Lawrence and Jacoby Myers as Jacoby Prime instead of Prime Energy Drinks. I did it last night. So nobody say anything funnier than that. Also because being Justin Herbert took me like 2 hours. It took me forever to make last week's episode art. So a little punt this week. So we're going to be talking the AFC South. And speaking of punts, we are not going to be talking about Dalton Schultz. You know who Dalton Schultz is? You know what you get with Dalton Schultz. He is a blob tight end. You take him? Cool. He's a good second tight end in a two tight end strategy. Or you can take just him and wait and see. I don't think there's anything else to add about Dalton Schultz. Am I correct?
You're correct.
All yeah, right. That's true.
Yeah. All right. So we've got Mike's got the Colts. Walker, you have the Titans. I have the Jags. And then we'll break up the Texans. So, Mike, why don't you take it away with your beautiful boys, the Indianapolis Colts.
All right. Cool. So Shane Steichen's offense is a dynamic, versatile scheme that balances aggressiveness, downfield passing, with a heavy physical rushing attack, known for his throw to score, run to win philosophy. Steichen frequently utilizes heavy motion, play action, bootlegs, and run pass options to put his playmakers in advantage positions. Quarterback Daniel Jones. Although he tore his Achilles in early December, Daniel Jones says he expects to be 100% ready for week one of 2026. Through the first 10 weeks of 2025 season, Jones looked like an MVP candidate while guiding the Colts to an 8-2 start. He completed 69.9% of his passes over the first 10 games, averaging 8.3 yards per pass attempt, threw 15 touchdowns and just 7 interceptions, and added 5 rushing touchdowns as well. Jones was QB5 in fantasy, scoring over the over that stretch. Expect much less rushing coming off the injury, and we would expect some regression from his career high 8.1 yards per pass attempt, even if he were completely healthy. While the team brought Alex Jones, okay.
it's in the document.
yeah. Pierce back, Michael Pittman was dealt to the Steelers, so Jones' receiving core took at least a small hit in the offseason. Once Jones is 100%, he should be solid QB2 in most formats.
See, here's my thought on Daniel Jones is he's like, I'm going to be back 100%. Nobody who tears their Achilles is back 100% immediately. Like, especially a guy who is like his best usability for fantasy is his mobility. Like, we saw even Kirk Cousins, who's a statue in there. Like, they weren't even running play action because so he didn't have to move. Like, it was dire. And you're going to tell me Daniel Jones is going to tell me that, like, what, 10 months removed from an Achilles tear, he's going to be back to being Daniel Jones? I'm not buying it. Neither is the fantasy community, because he's QB 23 right now. So it's like, I don't think anybody's really buying this. Like, it would be cool, but it feels like the ADP is well behind, like, what the team is saying and what Daniel Jones is saying. Because even a bad Daniel Jones is much higher than QB 23. Like, he's going behind CJ Stroud. And I feel like if we knew he was healthy, he would be going well ahead of Stroud.
Yeah, I think so, for sure.
Yeah. Walker, what do you think?
I'm not really interested in Daniel Jones this season. I don't foresee him being able to replicate what he did last year. Even I understand he wasn't really running as much as he used to before the injury anyway, but after the injury he pretty much ceased running at all. Mm-hmm. And the passing efficiency dipped as well, back toward more of his career numbers. I do wonder if there was also a corresponding kind of adjustment in the way defenses were attacking him. Based on his career, he's always kind of been a fringe starter. You know, his level is kind of somewhere between the 25th and 30th best quarterback in the league. And not to say that you can't, you know, build a winner around a guy like that, or at least a team that can get, you know, close to the Super Bowl. But the way that they win isn't really by airing it out. I mean, especially they lost Michael Pittman and didn't really replace him. It seems like an offense that's going to be a lot of Jonathan Taylor again. And I would imagine that Jones is kind of more of a caretaker this season than pushing, you know, the offense, you know, with his consistent passing. I don't really foresee that for a whole season. And so I'm not particularly interested for fantasy. I mean, maybe he could have an okay QB2 season, but if that's what you're looking for, you could pick any of about half a dozen guys.
Okay. Well, all right then, Mike, continue.
All right. Running backs. Jonathan Taylor was the RB4 in fantasy points per game last year, but his season was a tale of two halves. With Daniel Jones, week 1 through 13, he was an RB2 in fantasy points per game, averaging 21.7 touches and 132.1 total yards. After Jones was out of the lineup, Taylor was the RB22 in fantasy points per game, with 21.6 touches and 75.4 total yards per game. Last year, among all 49 qualifying running backs, Taylor was 17th in explosive run rate, 28th in missed tackle rate, and 13th in yards after contact per attempt. If there was some cause for concern, it would be the 369 touches he had last year, and the fact that he only averaged 3.3 yards per carry in his last 7 games. Jones is set to return this season, but the big question for Taylor and in the offense is how effective he'll be in 2026 coming off the Achilles injury. Last year, Taylor was first in snap share, second in opportunity share, fourth and weighted opportunity, and second in red zone touches. Taylor remains one of the best running backs in football and should be selected in round one of the most drafts as a top five running back.
Yeah, I think that there was a lot of hullabaloo about how he fell apart in the second half, and I think he just ran out of gas and teams keyed in on him a bunch. I think that he won't run as hot as he did in the first half, and I don't think he'll run as cold as he did in the second half. I think his 20-plus touchdowns is, you know, it's a little high, but, like, he's a locked and loaded top eight guy at worst. Like, there's no path to... I don't want to say there's no path to failure. I don't want to say that. But there's no... That's me reverse lathing Jonathan Taylor. There's no... I don't see a reasonable way to say that Jonathan Taylor isn't a first round pick is basically how it comes down. Unless you're looking for attention. Walker, are you looking for attention?
No.
Okay. You're awfully, your silence was deafening. You feel good about JT this year?
Yeah. I mean, I think he is a, like, the lowest I could see you having him is like RB7.
Yeah. And that would be real trying. That would be trying really hard.
Yeah. Like in my final rankings, I think I'll have him at 5.
Yeah. So, all right, Mike, we've gone through all the good parts. Jonathan Taylor. So let's talk about the wide receivers.
Yeah, that's about it. Alec Pierce led the Colts in receiving yards in each of his last 2 years while continuing to dominate as one of the NFL's premier deep threats. This allowed Pierce to cash in, and his big payday should signal that he is team's wide receiver one, especially with Michael Pittman now in Pittsburgh. What makes that hard to figure is that Pierce has a career ADOT of 16.7, and that number has been over 18 each of the past 2 seasons. That is not a profile of a high target wide receiver. If he acclimates to his new role and earns more short area targets, Pierce could post a top 20 season. We simply have not seen Pierce run enough of those type of routes to have confidence in his success. He finished as a wide receiver 23 in fantasy points per game in 2025, posting 10 games with at least 65 receiving yards and clearing 1,000 yards for the first time in his career. With Pittman gone, Pierce will have target competition from Tyler Warren and Josh Downs. His fantasy ceiling will largely depend on the health and effectiveness of Daniel Jones, but Pierce has already shown he can produce splash weeks regardless of who the quarterback is. View Pierce as a boom bust wide receiver 3.
I'm kind of like, yeah, I'm not super in on Pierce, despite being the world's four. Like, I was hanging on to Pierce, but at wide receiver 36, that's like the perfect, like, flex wide receiver. Like, yeah, that's like the platonic ideal.
Mm-hmm.
Walker, what are your thoughts on Alec Pierce?
I am also a bit reticent to go in on Pierce this year. Wide receiver 35 price is okay, but I feel like he might struggle to be a true number one. He has a fantastic skill to go get the ball downfield with his speed, size, and leaping ability. Jones's efficiency on the deep pass went down after the injury as well, and has never been the type of guy to command 130, 140 targets. I would say that Tyler Warren or Josh Downs will probably lead the team in targets, and Pierce will continue to be in the, like, pretty solid boom bust wide receiver 3. So I think he's going about where he should go.
Okay. Mike, take it away on Tyler Warren then. You got an easy team. One guy at each position, unless you got more wide receivers to talk about. Josh Downs?
Yeah, I got Josh Downs.
All right.
For the second straight year, the Colts slot wide receiver was hyper-targeted at a 24% clip. That led the Colts wide receivers and tight ends in 2025, and he creates separation. For fantasy points data, Downs ranked 20th in average separation score. Downs has been limited because of lack of high-end route participation. But a late season route bump could suggest more of Downs in a full-time role in 2026, especially after they traded Pittman. Speaking of Pittman, Downs ADOT the past two seasons has been much closer to Pittman's than Pierce, which indicates he could pick up a large share of Pittman's targets. To do that, he will need to be on the field more in two receiver sets. In 16 career games with a snap share over 70%, it is quite possible he leads the Colts in targets in 2026.
I kind of like Downs, honestly. I think he will get a fair amount of targets. He's going wide receiver 48 outside the top 100 picks, so very inexpensive in your drafts as well. I mean, there's probably only two guys going right in his range that I would consider drafting over him. Well, maybe three. These four, actually, in a row, these guys are, including Downs, are a nice little pocket where you can attack like your wide receiver four or wide receiver five area, because you've got Jaden Reed, Quentin Johnston, Wandale Robinson, and Josh Downs.
Yeah, I like that. I don't know. They say that he could be, you know, take a lot of Pittman's, you know, targets, vacated targets, but I just don't see them expanding him to outside. He will go outside a little bit, but not to the extreme that the Colts are going to like it. I think right now it's Nick Westbrook-Ikhine who's the Pittman guy, but he's no good, so I'm not going to talk about him. I don't know if Jeff knows, he's on mute, but
sorry, what was that?
nothing. I just didn't know if you were on mute.
Oh yeah, I put in the chat that I had to pee.
Oh, okay.
Mike blew up my spot. Sorry, where were we?
So right now I'm going to be going to tight end.
Okay.
Unless you have something to say on Josh Downs.
I agree with you completely, whatever you said.
Okay, cool. So Tyler Warren had a fantastic rookie season as the tight end 10 in fantasy points per game. He was averaging 13.1 PPR fantasy points per game before Daniel Jones got hurt last year and should have more targets opportunities in 2026 with Pittman gone. Warren averaged 6.2 yards after the catch per reception, which led all tight ends who saw at least 100 targets last season. He also led the Colts with 19 red zone targets and 11 targets inside the 10-yard line. And he had only 4 receiving touchdowns to show for it. Warren was excellent last year on a per-route basis. Among 59 qualifying tight ends, he was 6th in target share, 9th in receiving yards per game, 18th in yards per route run, and first downs per route run, 6th in first read share. That's per Fantasy Points data. His target share and first read share should increase this season with Pittman gone, and his per-route production should also improve if Donald Jones can stay healthy. In a full PPR league, draft him as early as round 5 as a top 5 tight end.
Yeah, I mean, Warren was, like, if you look at Colson Loveland gets all the hype, and then there was the awful Fantasy Points data suite post, which I don't know if either of you saw, about Harold Fannin, but like Tyler Warren was neck and neck with Colson Loveland in terms of like a lot of statistics. So I have him, to be fair, I do have him 6, but he's neck and neck with Harold Fannin. Like I just made the switch. Like I could take either one of them. I have no problem with them. Those two sophomore tight ends, I think that they're a fine pair there. And they're kind of falling in drafts a little bit, especially I think Warren's going much higher than Fannin, but I'm down with Tyler Warren. Walker, what do you think?
Yeah, I think Warren will be a top 5 tight end as well. I have him at 4 currently, just ahead of Fannin. Yep, I mean, pretty much same thing as you. I think they're both really good. I think Loveland is also really good. I would also like to know what the bad post was.
Oh, so Scott Barrett posted some advanced statistics. They were like, the last four games of Harold Fannin's rookie season and the last four games of Colson Loveland's rookie season. And it said, parentheses, the only time that Colson Loveland was any good. And I was like, well, that's not true. It takes out Colson Loveland's best game. And then you look, there's an asterisk, and it's actually the last 16 quarters of Harold Fannin's rookie year. It's like week 16 or week 17, first quarter, the full, two full games before, and quarters two through four of the game before that. So it's like, oh, I'm sorry, three games, three full games.
And unbelievably cherry-picked.
Two chopped up games. And all the stats are like yards per target over expectation. And just like these like minutia, which is helpful, but it also, it doesn't have like ADOT, or it doesn't have like first read share. Like, it does have first read share. But what's funny is he's like, who's the real rookie or sophomore tight end one? And it was like at the bottom is like fantasy points per game. Colson Loveland was still ahead of Harold Fannin. It's like, okay, so you cherry picked all this bullshit and Colson Loveland still came out ahead. What point are you trying to make, dog?
I don't know.
It's a very bad post. It's a bad post. This is the psych. So I'm off of Twitter, but it gets posted in like the Discord, and this is the psychic damage that gets inflicted on me. Like, I'm just like, I hate it. I hate everything about Twitter. Twitter.com is a cesspool. It's the worst.
Bad website.
I don't know if either of you have heard of this, Twitter.com. It's run by this Elon Musk fella. If him and Trump ever get together, that might be a problem.
No good.
No good. All right. So we're done with the Colts, and that moves us on now to the Tennessee Titans, folks. The Elik Ayo Manor. You're hearing it less and less.
You are indeed. Rip to a legend. The digital lick. He's gone.
Yeah. Rip to the digital lick. All right. Walker, the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, this team will not take long. We'll start off with the quarterback, of course, Cam Ward. He had a pretty tough rookie season, which was understandable given the fact that his best receiver was Chimeri DK somehow. Mm. Folks, is that good?
No.
No.
Okay, cool. So I would expect a reasonable amount of improvement in decision-making, especially from Ward going from year one to year two. I believe, if I'm correct, it's a Brian Daboll offense now.
Yes, they will pass and run Daboll.
They're going to be moving Daboll. But I do also think Cam Ward is always going to be Cam Ward, and so I think he will be turning over Daboll as well. He also doesn't run Daboll very much on his own. He's more of a pocket passer or scramble to throw type guy. And the receivers and running backs around him, the running backs are exactly the same, basically, except for Nick Singleton's there now. And then the receivers are better, but they're still not great. I mean, unless Carnell Tate comes in and is a true number one receiver immediately, which I very much do not think is going to happen, then they're going to have a bad offense again. And I really don't think a quarterback who was pretty bad in his rookie season, understandably, but still pretty bad, who doesn't run that much and still doesn't really have particularly good weapons around him, will... I just don't really see an avenue for him to be anything better than like a low-end QB2. He's currently going QB24 in the 13th round. I have him projected as QB26 and undraftable.
Yeah, I'm not super in on Cam Ward. Like, my comp for him was Andy Dalton, and he needed a bunch of weapons. Like, he needed an AJ Green to make it work, and maybe to be fantasy relevant, and maybe Carnell Tate is his AJ Green. I would like to see it first. I would like to see that happen because, folks, Carnell Tate, he's not AJ Green.
No.
Despite the draft capital.
No, he's not.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm, he doesn't run. Don't forget he led the league last year, in sacks after being sacked or after avoiding a sack. Sacks after avoiding a sack was Cam Ward. So I think he'll have some boom weeks this year just because his aired out works well with Carnell Tate. So I'd be interested in him as like a QB3 in like DraftKings or a best ball league. But anywhere where I have to put him into my lineup, I have zero interest in Cam Ward. Zero. So I'm with you there, Walker.
Mike, what about you?
Yeah, I'm not interested at all. Turns the ball over too much and then is sack prone, and I'm not buying negative points in my fantasy league.
And but he did have that one sweet pass where he sprinted all the way to the right and then threw it across his body all the way to the left.
He will always
have that.
All right, so we'll do a few this or that. He's at the end of drafts, so I'll only do like four. Cam Ward or Daniel Jones?
Daniel Jones.
I thought I was going to say Daniel Jones, but I think I've talked my way out of it. I will go Cam Ward.
What?
That's right, Mike.
I would go with Daniel Jones.
I'm going Cam Ward.
Cam Ward or Fernando Mendoza?
Ooh. I'll go Cam Ward.
They're the same guy. Cam Ward.
They're not the same guy. I'll go Mendoza. Let's see. Cam Ward or Juwan Johnson.
Juwan, baby.
Juwan.
And Cam Ward or Omar Cooper Jr.
Pass.
Yeah.
I'll just take an empty route. I'll go Omar Cooper, just because it could be like, oh shit, Garrett Wilson tore his ACL in week one, and now Omar Cooper is getting 140 targets this season.
Yeah, extremely inefficient 70 catch season upcoming, but hey, that's points.
Hey, buddy, they call it the worst Jarvis Landry season you've ever seen.
Yeah, I mean, I would take Cooper as well there. All right, moving on to the running backs. The starter, yet again, it's Tony Pollard, baby. Mr. Boring, he's back, folks. He always has like 1,000 yards, doesn't run for that many touchdowns, but doesn't run for like no touchdowns either. Really good flex play, and that's it. So he's going RB30 in the 7th round, which I think is fair, honestly. I would say he is a 7th round pick. He's a dead zone running back who, I mean, this man is Akash meme personified, really.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when he's going RB30 and then I have him RB26, but in the same round, it's just, he's fine. He will not hurt your team or particularly help your team. He is filler.
I have him as RB26 as well, Walker.
Oh, there we go.
So we are all in on Tony Pollard.
Mike, what do you think about Pollard? Do you have any more faith?
No. No, he is what he is. It's pretty much, you know, your RB32 guy. Mm-hmm.
If you're taking swings on your first two running backs, I feel like Tony Pollard is a perfect, like, settle the ship kind of guy.
Yeah, if your first two running backs are, say, Ashton Jeanty and Jeremiah Love, then I guess I could understand it. But that's, like, one of about two scenarios where I'd be like, sure, draft Tony Pollard. Because, I mean, other guys that are going, like, right near Pollard are, like, wouldn't you rather have Jalen Warren?
Yes.
Yeah, he catch passes.
Wouldn't you rather have Ramondre Stevenson?
I don't, actually. I have Tony Pollard higher.
Okay, fair. Well, maybe you wouldn't. I don't know. That one's pretty close, I guess.
Yeah. I might actually, there's some news coming up that kind of started to leak out this week that Jordan Mason might be the 1A in Minnesota.
I love that, folks. We've been on the drumbeat for a while here.
Yeah. So if that starts, like, if I hear like a corroboration or some news out of camp, I would put Mason ahead of Tony Pollard.
Yeah, I would put Rico Dowdle, probably the other Pittsburgh running back, ahead of Pollard too, just because of upside.
Yeah, Yeah, Rico Dowdle right now is one spot behind Tony Pollard for me, just because of it's a Jaylen Warren, Tony Pollard, Rico Dowdle sandwich.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So. I think Pollard is what he is. The only other running back who has a draftable ADP is Tyjae Spears. Been there for a couple years, famously does not have an ACL in one of his legs. He's a solid pass catcher who doesn't run the ball particularly efficiently because of his size. Shifty, but not fast. Going RB 48, which, again, I think it might be a bit low because I think people are reading a bit much into the Nick Singleton thing. I would imagine that Spears will continue to have that role unless he gets hurt.
Mm-hmm.
But again, there's not much upside here because he's going to be at best the 1B in a bad offense that doesn't score many touchdowns. So he's going in the 13th round. I think that is pretty much exactly where he should go.
I am RB 42. I have
Singleton. Me too, RB. Jeff.
Hey, same person. I have Singleton RB 54. So I was just like, and that's if something happens to Tyjae Spears, he will step in to be the Tyjae Spears replacement.
Exactly.
So,
Mike, do you like Nick Singleton?
No. I think he'll have some opportunity, but I'm not looking to draft him by any means.
I would agree with that as well. So,
yeah, he's fine.
Yep. Exactly. All right, moving on to the receivers. So Carnell Tate, the first one, he's by far the highest the biggest ADP. He's going 65th overall, according to Football Guys right now, wide receiver 30. I got to be honest, I wouldn't take him there.
No.
I'm famously not a believer in him as a wide receiver one in the NFL. Not that I think he'll be a bad player, but I don't foresee him immediately stepping in and beating cornerback ones consistently, especially with a guy I don't think is particularly good at quarterback, not much help otherwise in the weapons. It's going to be a tough situation. I think he'll have some high highs because Cam Ward does like to throw the ball downfield and he's not too bad at it. I think that you might get a multi-touchdown game here or there. You might get a 100-yard receiving game, but I don't foresee him being consistent. I don't foresee him being particularly efficient with his targets, and I would expect that he receives a lot of uncatchable targets as well. So I just think it's going to be a lot of up and down, up and down, up and down, and you're never going to know when to play him.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to summer 2027. I'm seeing with my third eye, Best Ball Bros. Do you understand the unrealized air yards in Carnell Tate? He led the league at unrealized air yards. I'm seeing it right now.
Yeah, I mean, it could absolutely be the case.
Yeah,
Mike, I know you liked Lemon better than Tate as well, just like we did, but what's your opinion of where he landed? Do you think that maybe he has a better chance than I do?
I don't know. I like the fact that I like it more in Dynasty where there's time to grow. I mean, Cam Ward needs a lot of growth, so I'll like it in 2 or 3 years. Right now, no.
Yeah, and if you want a comp for him, it is literally Calvin Ridley. For me, same guys already on the roster, man.
Yep. He's just there. I feel like he's a perfectly good wide receiver 4 who's going as a wide receiver 3 because of draft excitement.
Exactly. Like people are like finding reasons to not want to get like Mekhi Lemon or Jordan Tyson, but with Carnell Tate, they're like, well, I simply must. I simply must go get him.
We'll move on to the other receiver who I actually prefer. Even though he's going, let's see, 43 picks later.
This is insane. This ADP is crazy.
Wandale Robinson, pick 108, wide receiver 47. I think he's going to outscore Carnell Tate straight up.
Smash that draft button.
Right. I mean, they signed into a huge contract to bring him in. Daboll loves him. It's going to be the easiest guy to get cheap yards in an offense that desperately needs cheap yards. Yeah, I don't see any reason why Wandale won't have like 100 catches again. And that's PPR gold, baby.
Yeah.
He's going at the back end of your wide receiver fours. And in PPR, he is, as long as he doesn't get hurt, I really don't see why he wouldn't finish in the top 36.
No, I have him as 33.
33.
Bang! Let's go.
Holy shit.
Holy shit. Yeah, I'm smashing that draft button on Wandale Robinson. Like, Brian Daboll gets there and he's like, go get my guy. Go get my guy right now.
Right. It's like, I have one request, and it's that you get this little dude that I had in New York. Yeah. He's a free agent. You are going to sign him to a really expensive contract, and we're going to feed him the ball a bunch.
And if he gets a concussion, guess what? I'll go yell at the independent neurologist. He won't have a concussion. It's a whole package deal. Remember when he did that for Scataboo?
I remember that. What if it was Obi-Wan Dale Robinson?
Oh my God. We already said that one time this offseason.
I'm pretty sure we did, but
I'm all in on Wandale. Like he's just an easy pick for me, as like a wide receiver four, like, or even if I go running back heavy, like the best ball draft I told you both about, where I was like, well, I guess I'm starting Saquon and Devon Achan. Wandale Robinson is destined for that team.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I'm all in. Right. Mike, tell us why we're wrong.
Ooh. Is Mike on mute? Mike's muted.
Mike's muted. Oh, no.
Okay, I'm on mute.
Mike would not allow himself to disparage Juan Daddy.
Our great Wandale Robinson.
Yeah.
That's right. I'm full in on Wandale myself.
Let's go.
A PPR monster, and he's going to be peppered with targets. So the only thing is he's not going to score a lot of touchdowns, but that's okay. His five or seven receptions for 95 yards is plenty of points for me.
I'll take it. I will take it. All right, so we're all in on Juan Daddy. Walker, do you have this guy or that guy?
Yes, I do. Hold on. A lot of these may be tough ones for you. Okay. Oh. So I've got four at receiver and then one each at the other positions. So first one, Wandale or Jacoby Prime?
Wandale.
Yeah, Wandale.
Wandale or Ricky Pearsall?
Ricky.
See, Jeff, I told you.
I got Ricky one spot ahead.
Wandale or Jaden Reed?
Wandale.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah.
Wandale.
Nice. And let's see. Wandale or Quentin Johnston?
Wandale.
QJ, I don't know. QJ is having a moment, and I don't know if I buy it.
No, that's fair.
Yeah.
And then we'll go Wandale or Jared Goff.
Wandale. Well, if I'm at that point, Jared Goff might be my last hope. So I might be going Goff just because I'm like, oh, shit. Forgot a quarterback. Yeah, I need
a quarterback, and he's good.
Yeah.
There we go. Mike, what do you think? Goff or Wandale?
I'm going to go Wandale.
Yeah.
Right. Wandale or Travis Kelce?
Wandale.
Wandale.
Agree. Man, these running backs in this range all stink. Wandale or Jordan Mason?
Right now, I'm going to go Wandale. Come back to me in a month. It might be Jordan Mason, depending on how the news is shaking up.
Yeah, I could see that. I would go with Wandale right now as well, though.
I'm going to go Mason right now because I think the news is going to be telling the future. So
dang.
Yeah, I just, it seems like it sets up for Mason to start taking over that backfield.
Yeah. Aaron Jones is up, getting up there.
Yep.
All right. We talking Gunnar Helm? Or are we talking Elik Iomanner? Old Shamari DK action?
We're not talking anybody else. Gunnar Helm isn't being drafted currently, so I'm done.
Best ball bros will tell you, Gunnar Helm. They're calling him the next Daniel Bellinger, who's also on the team.
Gunnar Helm, tight end 27, going pick 207. Yeah, I'm not talking about that guy.
All right, fine. That brings me to Gunnar Helm. No, we won't be doing that. We'll be talking about the Jacksonville Jaguars. Folks, for the second year in a row, I'm doing Jacksonville. I'm not falling prey to trying to get the Duval button to work. We won't be doing that. We'll just be, whenever we say Duval, it'll be live, folks. Liam Cohen fixed the team last year. Long story short, let's talk position by position. Trevor Lawrence, quarterback. Or wristband Trev, as the kids call him. He finished the season as QB4 overall, QB6 in points per game. It wasn't all sunshine and rainbows. He started the season throwing for a good amount of yards, but his touchdown interception ratio was a mess. Before the Jags traded for Jacoby Myers, Lawrence played on a pace that came out to 3,910 passing yards, 19 touchdowns, and 13 picks to go along with 291 rushing yards and 8.5 touchdowns. In the two games after Myers' arrival, things got worse as his pace dropped to 2,643 passing yards with one pick and one touchdown per game. That all changed one November afternoon when Trevor Lawrence decided to don a play caller's wristband, something that Liam Cohen said freed up Lawrence to play faster and more decisively. After the win against the Chargers, where Lawrence used the wristband in the hurry up, he told the media, and I quote... That was my hardcore history. Carlin. What's the guy's name? I don't know. Anyways, something Carlin. Dan Carlin. That was my Dan Carlin. There we go. And I quote. Yeah, it was something that we had talked about earlier in the season, potentially doing it and then just gotten used to not doing it. So we stayed away from it. And then after last week, we felt like we were kind of down in the play clock a couple of times. And we just decided, hey, let's do it for situational stuff, third down, red zone, some other things, and some of the longer calls. And that double some other was in there. I left that in there. And just try to get the operation moving a little quicker. Maybe limit some of the penalties just because we're getting to the line a little late. So I think it helped today. I feel like we all got to the huddle pretty quick. There's still some stuff we can work on getting in and out and getting up there. And we got a few off late, but I thought it helped for sure. After the Chargers' victory, Lawrence and the Jaguars went to the wristband full time, and everything changed. After that point, Lawrence played on a torrid pace: 4,507 passing yards, 44 touchdowns, 10 picks, 432 rush yards, 10 touchdowns. It helped carry people to the playoffs. Let's ignore that he played the Cardinals, Titans, Colts, and Jets in there, though he did put up 279 passing yards, three touchdowns, and 20 rushing yards and a touchdown against the Broncos. So it wasn't just beating up on tomato cans, though it was a little bit. His advanced stats also told a wonderful tale. After the wristband Trev allegations were proven true, he ranked among quarterbacks with 100 dropbacks, which was 30 quarterbacks, 30 in yards per attempt, first in quarterback rating, 19th lowest sack rate, second in adjusted net yards per attempt, first in completion percentage over expectation, fourth in ADOT, third in deep throw rate, ninth in first read target share, which is that's Trevor Lawrence right there, baby. Third in hero rate. 24th in checkdown rate. My man was slinging it. First in fantasy points per dropback, fantasy points per opportunity, and fantasy points per game. Ultimately, it comes down to this for me, a fervent Trevor Lawrence believer. The former first rounder is surrounded by talent in BTJ, Jacoby Myers, Parker Washington, Travis Hunter, and even Brenton Strange. He has a skilled, offensively minded head coach. And I don't think he'll ascend to Joe Burrow's tier, but he firmly belongs below the rushing superstars and above the passing only guys like Caleb, Purdy, and Goff. He fits nicely for me as my QB7 on the board, off the board, which is well ahead of ADP, and he's nestled in with guys like Dak and Herbert. Any thoughts on Wristband Trev, folks?
I think he is pretty good. I would expect, he's going outside the top 10 quarterbacks right now, and I think mm-hmm. that's a mistake.
Yep, he's current. Mike, what do you think before I get to this or that?
Yeah, I agree with Walker. I think that he's definitely in the top 8 as far as what I'm concerned. And I think he'll continue to be what he was last year.
Yeah. Lawrence is currently quarterback 11 off the board, pick 89. Lawrence or Dak?
I'm going to go Dak. Lawrence.
All right. Lawrence or Justin Sherbert, as they call him.
Lawrence,
yeah.
Lawrence or Broctholomew per Dougie?
Lawrence.
All right. Lawrence or Chris Godwin?
Lawrence,
yeah.
Or Kenneth Gainwell?
Lawrence,
yeah.
Or Sam Laporta?
Lawrence.
Mm-hmm. Lawrence.
All right. Let's talk running back, shall we?
Indeed.
Do we have to? Bashal Tutin and LaQuint Allen are the only returning running backs in this room, with newcomers Chris Rodriguez, Amir Abdullah, DJ Dallas, and Jamari Taylor rounding out the room. There are really only two running backs worth worrying about, however, Tutin and Rodriguez. So let's start with Tutin. As Sports Illustrated, John Shipley believes that Tutin's, quote, role and opportunity are going to see a major hike this season. Last year, Tutin was trapped behind in Travis Etienne, Achan, much to my chagrin. He finished the year with a 24% opportunity share and 23% snap share, which ranked 58th and 71st, respectively. To be honest with you, as one of the standard bearers of the Bashal Tutin fan club last year, he did nothing. Finished the year with 83 carries for 307 yards, 10 catches for 79 yards, but did finish with 7 touchdowns. The 7 touchdowns seem like a nice chunk until you realize that ranked outside the top 25 at running back, because running backs score a ton of touchdowns. So by every metric, he did nothing, finishing as RB51 in a rookie season spent wallowing behind Travis Achane. But Achane is no longer there, and Chris Rodriguez is mid. Sorry, Walker. Is there anything in his Vance profile that makes Bashal Tutin exciting? Well, he was 10th in Duke rate last year. Did I mention he was 10th in juke rate last year?
Yes.
How about 10th in juke rate?
Mm.
He had one breakaway run, created 3.14 yards per touch, which ranked 33rd, and he managed 3.7 yards per carry while facing the 4th highest rate of light fronts. So he was doing nothing against nobody. Like, nobody was there to tackle him, and he was not rushing the ball. All the Tutin hype stems from literally 4 carries against the Bills in the playoffs, where he finished with 51 rushing yards on 20, 14, 13, and 4 yards on these carries. It's worth noting that the Bills were one of the worst run defenses in the league last year, allowing the 8th highest success rate, the 5th highest explosive run rate, the most yards after contact per attempt, and the 6th most yards before contact per attempt. This all led to the 3rd highest yards per carry allowed and the most rushing touchdowns allowed in the league. So that is to say, in the playoffs, he beat up on a bad run defense. I had previously been on Bashal Tutin, but I regret to inform you all, I am out. Especially when you consider his ADP. He is an inefficient, volume-based, dead zone running back with a timeshare situation on his hands with other, more interesting players around him in the offense, namely the wide receiver room. Bashal Tutin is running back 25, pick 60 overall. How do we feel about Bashal Tutin?
No.
Mike?
That's a no.
All right. Would you take him over any of these guys? Jadarian Price, Monty, Jalen Warren?
No.
No.
What about Christian Watson, Burrow, Tyler Warren?
No.
No.
All right. I agree. So now that we've established that I'm out on Bashal Tutin, and his midness, unfortunately, Midness, thy name is the Jacksonville Jaguars backfield. Chris Rodriguez made his way over from the Commanders backfield where he, heavy scare quotes, broke out in 2025. He finished the season with a 31% snap share, 37% opportunity share, and 7.1 fantasy points per game, which was RB47. This doesn't tell the whole story, as after week 9, where he had over 11 carries for the first time, he finished as a top 20 running back 3 times and a top 36 running back in 6 of his final 7 games. This led him to an RB31 finish in that span, which was undoubtedly a fantasy relevant stretch, but was it really a breakout? Most certainly was not. He was 35th in the league in yards in that stretch in yards per touch, 18th in juke rate, and had 4 breakaway runs all season. He also struggled against light boxes, posting 4 yards per carry against those defensive fronts. So he was better than Tootin, still not good. So what we are seeing is two middling running backs who don't really differentiate from each other in their on-field performances, and nothing much involved in their profiles gets me excited about them other than their high-octane offense. One of these two guys will likely end up being a good bet because of falling into 10 touchdowns, but it's likely impossible to guess which one. Chris Rodriguez is the grinder. Baishal Tootin and his 4.32 40-yard dash is the speed threat. But in that case, I guess I'll take the cheaper of the two, but I'm not excited about either. Chris Rodriguez, RB42, pick 132 overall. So going twice as late as
Baishal. Yeah, literally Tootin. 6 rounds later.
Yeah. So 72 picks later. Yeah, 7 full rounds or 6 full rounds later, 72 picks. So Walker, I know you were in on Chris Rodriguez, so I'll let you say your piece.
I mean, I feel like in is strong, but yeah, I think he'll probably lead the backfield in points. He's fine and he's stable, and I think he'll end up touching the ball, especially out of, you know, running the ball more than anybody else. He'll run for more touchdowns than anybody else in the backfield. He'll catch a few passes here and there. I don't think he'll finish as a top 24 running back, certainly, but top 36, sure.
Yeah, that's kind of his ballpark. Mike, what do you think?
Yeah, I guess I'm not excited by him. I don't really care if I have him or not.
Mike's like, I'm going to turn around for this round. If somebody puts him on my roster, fine, so be it. I'm not going to be responsible for it, though.
Yeah, I'm not responsible for that action. Yeah.
All right, perfect. C-Rod or Woody Marks?
Woody.
Here you guys.
All right. See. Oh, nope. That's Jordan Mason. Hold on. New news has come up since this happened. We'll go C-Rod or Tyler Allgeier.
Rodriguez.
Allgeier.
C-Rod or his foe last season, Ja'Cory Kroski Merritt.
Rodriguez.
I'm going JCM, baby. I can't quit him. All right, C-Rod or Andrews?
Andrews.
Andrews, yeah.
C-Rod or Baker Mayfield?
Mayfield.
C-Rod or man without a team, Stephon Diggs?
Rodriguez.
Rodriguez, yeah.
All right, cool. Speaking of wide receivers, let's talk about the very annoying wide receiver situation here in Jacksonville. It's annoying and difficult to parse with BTJ, Parker Washington, and Jacoby Myers all going between wide receiver 32 and 43, with Travis Hunter all the way down at wide receiver 76. I can't decide definitively which one of these players were outperforming their ADP, except for Travis Hunter probably, as there's data supporting all of them being the right click here. So let's start with the golden boy, the BTJ killer, Brian Thomas Jr. He finished 2024 as the next big thing at wide receiver, finishing his rookie campaign with 133 targets, 87 receptions, 1,282 yards, and 10 touchdowns. That was a hell of a rookie campaign, and idiots thought he would build on that in year two. It's me. I'm idiots. He finished last year with the same yards per reception as his rookie year, 14.7, but his catch rate plummeted. And the shape of his usage changed dramatically during the season. From weeks 1 through 7, he had a 12.6 ADOT and a 10.3 yards before the catch on receptions. After that point, which was when that week 7 was the last game of Travis Hunter's rookie year. So after that point, they moved him deep. He had a 17.4 average depth of target and a 12.9 yards before the catch on reception. So he was going more downfield. I think that this is because a preseason wrist injury gave him a serious case of the yips. He went from a 5.3% drop rate in his rookie season to 16.4% drop rate in those first 7 weeks. 16.4. That's like get cut from the team bad if you're not a first round pick. That was in those first 7 weeks. The Jags moved him out wide and deep, and he had a 2.8% drop rate after moving downfield. So not being in the middle of the field in the action really helped him out a lot. And I misspoke when I said moved him out wide. He was only like 20% in the slot. He wasn't really a slot guy in those first 7 weeks. But they moved him downfield, 2.8% drop rate. So what I see is a talented receiver and an adept head coach who had a heart-to-heart and realized that BTJ wasn't going to cut it with his injuries in his normal role and chose instead to move him downfield. This, like I mentioned, coincided with the Travis Hunter injury and allowed the offense to thrive. The unfortunate problem for fantasy football is that it worked like gangbusters, and the Jags don't have much of an impetus to undo the role change for two reasons. One, it cleared out room for Jacoby Myers and Parker Washington, creating three valuable wide receivers out of the move. And two, it showed that instead of being a full-time wide receiver and a part-time cornerback, given the Jaguars roster construction, it would probably be a better use of Travis Hunter's time and skills to be a full-time cornerback and a part-time wide receiver, because their cornerbacks are nowhere near as good as this wide receiver room. So I'll talk a little bit more about that later. As far as VTJ, this destroyed his fantasy value. In his 7 regular season games in the downfield role, he's finished outside the top 60 3 times, a wide receiver 2 twice, and 0 times as a wide receiver 1 or 3. He turned into a boom-bust wide receiver. I think that this season sees him turn into a more quote-unquote normal role, but it doesn't look good for him moving forward. I still think he's going to be the deepest of the three guys. Ultimately, he is going in what I'm calling the wide receiver dead zone, plastered between Carnell Tate, Christian Watson, Marvin Harrison, and Jordan Tyson. So how do we feel about Brian Thomas this year?
I think that obviously there's downside, but I think that the upside overwhelms it because he's going outside the top 30 receivers. Like, I would much rather take him than Carnell Tate or Marvin Harrison Jr. or DK Metcalf, because there's the possibility that he could return to form and be top 12 again. Mm-hmm. I think he's the most likely of the guys in that wide receiver 30 to wide receiver 36 range to have the breakout season.
Yeah, I the talent's there. Like, we've seen it before. Like, he's going around guys that we haven't really seen it before. Like I mentioned, Tate, MHJ, and Jordan Tyson. Like, we saw 10 minutes of Marvin Harrison Jr. That's all we saw. Mike, what do you think about the BTJ killer this season?
I like it. I think with the lack of a running game, they're definitely going to be passing a lot more, especially if Lawrence continues to improve his game. So, I think he's very solid.
All right, so BTJ is wide receiver 32 off the board. BTJ or Jordan Tyson?
BTJ.
BTJ.
BTJ or Marvin Harrison Jr., who's going ahead of him?
BTJ.
BTJ.
All right, I'm going to jump up a little bit. BTJ or Rome Odunze?
BTJ.
BTJ.
Whoa! Okay, I'm going to move up more. BTJ or DJ Moore?
BTJ.
Yeah, I'll go BTJ.
Wow. Okay. I'm just going to keep moving up the board. I didn't anticipate this. BTJ or Davante Adams?
Davante.
Yeah, I think that's where I'll go to.
All right. We found our wall. BTJ or DeAndre Swift?
Swift.
Yeah, I'll go Swift.
BTJ or Lamar?
Lamar.
BTJ or Tucker Kraft?
Kraft.
Kraft, yeah.
All right, cool. I went completely off script because you both were just like, You were just like that Kylo Ren gif where you're like, more, like higher, higher.
In that range, he's my favorite one.
Yeah. All right. There you go. Perfect. Let's talk about Parker Washington. He was the main fantasy beneficiary of the BTJ conversion to a deep threat last year. From week 9 through the end of the season, he played on a 113 target, 77 catch, 1,209 yard, 8 touchdown pace, running 59% out of the slot and leading the team in receiving yards. And it wasn't particularly close when you look at the advanced metrics either. These are all related to the rest of the Jaguars wide receivers. First in yards per route run by a country mile, yards per target by a country mile, first downs, first read target share, missed tackles forced, and he was just 0.22 yards per reception behind Brian Thomas, who was the downfield target. Washington worked in what I like to call that like alpha range, that like 12 to 13 yards downfield at 12.8 ADOT, running the second most routes post week 7. That is to say, he became the alpha in this offense, and he joins Chris Godwin and Cooper Kupp as Liam Cohen slot receivers to thrive in his offense. That is to say, I've seen enough. Parker Washington is this team's wide receiver one, and I'm tired of pretending like he isn't. It's washing season, folks. That's right. I'm turning heel. I'm a Parker Washington guy now. Wow. It's happening. It's happening. I think they're going to keep BTJ deep, and they're going to let Parker Washington work underneath. Some are calling it a Wandale and Carnell Tate style situation.
I mean, better players, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yes, but so that's why it's that style situation. Some are calling it let's go the other direction, a Puka Nacua and Davante Adams style situation.
Sure.
Too far the other way?
I would say yes.
They're calling it a Mike Evans and Ricky Pearsall style situation.
I don't know.
We need
to stop doing this.
Okay. So I'm in on Parker Washington. I'm going with the assumption of rational coaching that Liam Cohen looks at his thing and went, hot damn, we stopped using Travis Hunter, we moved BTJ downfield, and everything started working. And yeah. I think that they're gonna keep that rolling. I think that that's their plan, at least. We'll see how it goes. But I think they're going to go into the season with that as the plan.
I would say that's sensible to expect. I haven't decided in my final rankings who will be ahead between Washington and Thomas, but I like both of them at their current price.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, Washington's going, according to Football Guys here, wide receiver 37 right now. I mean, I just think that's way too low for a guy who performed as well as he did last season.
Yeah. Oh, and but here's the thing too, in best ball you can triple tap round 7, 8, 9, BTJ, Parker Washington, Trevor Lawrence. Wow. Disgusting middle round stack that could literally win leagues.
And then you pick up Jacoby Myers in the 10th.
Yeah, and then you pick up Brenton Strange in the 11th, and then Chris Rodriguez in the 12th. Nate Borkature in the 13th.
Well, it's getting worse now.
I mean, yeah, it's hold on. Let's see. The ADP of Jacoby is 11. So you could even sneak in a little Michael Wilson in there, maybe.
A little Michael Pittman, another guy named Michael.
Yeah, a little more Michaels. yeah. So definitely a disgusting middle round stack that you could build there. I saw that and I was like, I think I'm going to try that in the draft that I'm doing right now. All right, wide receiver 35, pick 76 overall. Do we want Parker Washington or Alec Pierce?
Alec Pierce.
Washington.
Alec Pierce.
Parker Washington or DK Metcalf?
Washington.
Yeah, Washington.
All right, I'm putting you at a decision for all of your chips. Parker Washington or Brian Thomas?
Thomas.
Yeah, Thomas.
Oh, both wrong. Bzz, wrongo. Jalen Warren. Or Parker Washington.
Warren.
Parker.
Tyler Warren or Parker Washington.
Tyler Warren.
There you go. Yeah.
Dakota Warren Prescott.
I don't think that's right.
Middle name. It's Rain.
Yeah, his middle name's Rain. Yeah. Actually, no, his first name's Rain. His middle name's Dakota.
That's right. It's Rain Dakota Prescott. War Rain Dakota Prescott. There we go.
Oh my God. I'll go Dak.
Yeah, Dak.
Oh, wait. I was going to make War Rain Dakota Prescott the episode title, but we already did a Dak Prescott episode title. All right. Let's talk about Jacoby Prime, folks. Jacoby Prime. If you don't know, every possession receiver is a variation of Jacoby Myers. Cortland Sutton, Mile High Jacoby Myers.
Right.
Actually, we need because Wandale was New York Slice Jacoby Myers?
Yeah, New York Slice Jacoby Myers. Now he's Country Music Jacoby Myers.
Yeah, there we go. Country Music Jacoby Myers. He's a good twangy guitar Jacoby Myers. All right. Jacoby Prime made his way to Jacksonville and was really just the same thing we came to expect out of Jacoby Myers. Lots of targets, a good number of catches, and not a lot of yards. He primarily acted as a Trevor Lawrence short area target, playing 9 games with the Jags, finishing as a top 36 wide receiver 6 times, top 24 3 times, and top 12 just once, where he was wide receiver 11. Guess what? This is Jacoby Myers. This is what he is. It's what he'll always be. An insanely consistent floor will soak up targets and produce consistent fantasy points without a lot of boom weeks. I'm going to steal a term from the Doughboys podcast, which is about chain restaurants. I'm going to call him a penthouse player. You know what penthouse is?
Yes.
Yeah.
Got a high floor, low ceiling.
That wasn't the penthouse I was thinking of.
No. High floor, low ceiling. Yeah, see? Different definition than you thought. Penthouse.
Yeah.
It's on a high floor. High floor, low ceiling. And guess what? I like him way less than best ball.
I like him less than best ball. It's true, though.
It's true. Wide receiver 43, pick 103 overall. Jacoby Prime or Yak Miller, which would be Ricky Pearsall.
I'll go Pearsall.
Pearsall.
Jacoby Myers or Quentin Johnston.
Jacoby.
Johnston.
Jacoby Myers or Michael Wilson?
Michael Wilson.
Jacoby or Myers or Purdy?
Jacoby Myers or Purdy? Purdy.
All right. I gotta go Myers.
Yeah, Jacoby and Myers or Travis Kelce?
Jacoby.
Oh, Kelce.
Jacoby Myers or Jonathan Brooks?
Myers.
All right, and a joke for my Sacramento folks. Jacoby and Myers or Anne Fong? Let's go.
Mike, come on, Mike. That one.
I guess I got to go Jacoby and Myers on that
one. All right, perfect. Walker, Jacoby and Myers is a personal injury law firm here, and Anne Fong is like on every billboard in Sacramento as a personal injury person. So there's your joke.
Call Anne Fong.
Yeah. That's her slogan. Something wrong. Call Anne Fong. Anne Fong. I was at the, I went to the California Classic and there's tons of Anne Fong ads everywhere. She like sponsored the California Classic. It was crazy. All right, let's talk about Travis Hunter. He's an intriguing player because we all know his talent level, but we also know that he struggled mightily to adjust to the two-way game in the NFL and ended the season with a torn LCL. He just disappeared one day after having exactly one useful game. Prior to his breakout, Hunter was doing fine, but wasn't living up to being the number two overall pick. I don't doubt the talent, as it would be silly slash stupid to deny that Hunter is a talented player, but it isn't a coincidence that Hunter's demise coincided with the Jags taking off last season. He simply wasn't effective more often than not. 109 wide receivers ran at least 200 routes last season, and Hunter was 40th in targets per route run, so above average. Unfortunately, his yards per target were 85th between Calvin Austin and Josh Downs. His yards per reception was 87th between Trey Harris and Keon Coleman. And his first downs per route run ranked 80th between Xavier Worthy and Marvin Mims. That all is to say, Travis Hunter might not make it, and the Jags might leave him in the dust. I'm not particularly interested in the report that the Jags are only going to let him run on defense. But, as I've been saying, the offense didn't need him last season. And it's possible all he does is steal a little bit from the other players and limit their upside. still at his price, he is too talented a player for me to skip. He's wide receiver 74, picked 194 overall. Travis Hunter or Chris Bell?
Bell.
I got to go Hunter.
Travis Hunter or A.D. Mitchell?
A.D. Mitchell.
Hunter.
Travis Hunter or Kayshon Booty? I'm not cherry picking. These are the guys going around him.
Hunter.
Hunter.
Travis Hunter or Jake Tongues?
Tongues.
Tongues, yeah.
All right. Sean Hunter. Travis Hunter or Sean Tucker?
Tucker.
Tucker.
Or Jake Brisket?
Brisket.
I'm Travis hunting some Jake Brisket, folks.
Ooh.
I'm hungry.
Let's go. Let's talk. Hey, Walker, go ahead.
I would take Brisket, though. Yeah.
Okay. That transition was strange. You know what else is strange? Brenton. Mm-hmm. A lot of smart folks want to tell you that they try to target a tight end who is a top two target on his own team, like Trey McBride or Chiga Conquo. Those same folks want you to believe that Brenton Strange is an upside tight end play. A casual reminder that he could be the fifth passing option on any given play. Last season, he finished as a top 12 tight end 5 times, with 3 of those finishes coming in games that he scored touchdowns. He was 8th in yards per route run, 6th in yards per target, and 9th in yards per reception. So that looks good. But again, I would like to remind you, 5th passing game option, 4th at best. And that's if the Jags move towards getting Nate Borkature on the field more with two tight end sets. He had just 5 targets per game last season. There's nothing that indicates he will surpass that this year. He is a low-end blob tight end. I have no interest in Brenton Strange. Brenton Strange or Juwan Johnson? Brenton Strange or Big Chig?
Big Chig.
Oh, Mike. Wrong.
Yeah.
I'm going to mute you, Mike. All right. Brenton Strange or Kenyon Sadiq?
Strange.
Mike?
Strange.
All right. Strange or Tyjae Spears?
Strange.
Yeah, Strange.
Strange or Daniel Jones? Sorry for the yawn.
Daniel Jones.
Alec Pierce.
Alec Pierce, yes. I will say Strange.
Strange or Denzel Boston?
Strange. Strange.
All right, perfect. That is your 2026 Jacksonville Jaguars. First team to go 7-0. 17-0. 7-0, they would be the first team to finish the season 7-0. That would be true.
That would be amazing.
Oh,
labor stoppage.
Yeah. Oh boy, I can't imagine. We were in a lot of trouble if the Jags only go 7-0.
We are.
I was looking back. What was I looking back on? I was trying to find something I did in 2020, and I came across all this stuff. It was really fucked up what the NFL did during COVID. Like, it was crazy. Yes. Like, teams played on like Wednesday morning, and like Kendall Hinton started a game. And Titans, everybody wanted to burn the Titans down because the Titans were like practicing on a high school field. Oh my God. Oh God. The NFL really fucked. They were bad guys. I don't know if you know this. I'm entering the discourse, for the sports discourse. Did you know that, sports leagues might be bad? Did you know that? Wow.
I did. That's crazy.
There's a lot of people discovering that for the first time in the World Cup because they don't know ball.
Indeed. It's so true.
I saw a post today. Walker, I think you might have quoted it, where a guy said, it's like the sign of a true fan is you would rather your team win straight up than lose straight up than win by cheating. Yeah.
And I was like absolutely not.
No, that is bullshit. Give me all the cheating.
You ain't trying, baby. I don't care how the Lions win it. If they win a Super Bowl, it counts. The banner goes up, baby.
Yeah, banner flags fly forever.
That's right.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about the Houston Texans. Speaking of teams that won't win the Super Bowl, folks, the Houston Texans.
Whoa.
Who's got Coleridge?
Me.
Coleridge Stroud IV.
Ulrich Bernard Stroud IV. Very cool name that he doesn't use.
Yeah,
CJ Stroud is, he's going QB23 in the 13th round, and that's fine. There's room for improvement back toward how he played as a rookie, but the offense is basically just Nico Collins, David Montgomery, and then that's it. Dalton Schultz is still probably the second best target in the passing game, and that's not a good thing. I don't think he'll be so catastrophically bad at times, but I also don't foresee him suddenly like starting to run a bunch or whipping the ball downfield for 35 touchdowns. There's just not a whole lot of upside here. He's a stable enough QB2 or 3 because he'll start a lot of games and he won't give you a ton of like dud like QB30 performances. But he's also just not going to be a QB1 very often. And that's at best a streamer.
Yeah, he reminds me a lot of like Chiefs Alex Smith. Like it's like he's just going to keep the ship running. He's going to keep it upright. He's
a guy who has only seen Alex Smith play quarterback, getting a lot of Alex Smith vibes.
I mean, just like sort of like his job is to not screw it up.
Yeah, I know what you mean, but yeah, it's just funny that that's your reference every time.
Well, Alex Smith had a lot of like, yeah, I'm getting Boss Baby vibes here. Okay. Guy who has only seen Alex Smith. Look, here's the thing. Alex Smith had like 6 different careers. his career. I saw
best
a lot.
Best career, Kansas City. Most funny career, Washington.
Yes. Best career, parentheses, stealing money from a billionaire, Washington.
Also correct.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm not excited in Stroud. Like, he is the perfect 2QB quarterback 3 because he will play 17 games.
Yep.
That's exactly that's his upside.
Folks, I'd rather have Tyler Shott.
Of course you would. Walked right into that one. either walked right into it or we're Wade and Braun in the meme, one of the two.
Yes, that was me. I was throwing it up for Jeff, and then Jeff was like, I'm throwing up an alley-oop and the guy dunks on you.
Posterizing the guy that threw the alley-oop to me.
Yes, you're posterizing. Assist to posterize.
Oh, man, the assist to posterize ratio? All right, are we doing this or that for CJ Stroud?
No.
Okay. No. All right. All right, let's talk David Montgomery, shall we? My king, David Montgomery. He's my king this season for 2 very real reasons. 1, Joe Mixon. 2, the Houston Texans defense. Some might want to call David Montgomery, quote unquote, aggressively average at this point in his career, but I would also like to posit that Joe Mixon was also, quote unquote, aggressively average before his foot fell off. The last time we saw Joe Mixon, he put up an RB9 season thanks to his volume. 13th in carries and 15th in targets, which is important because, Walker, who did you say the whole offense is?
It's Nico Collins and David Montgomery.
And Dalton Schultz. And you're like, and Dalton Schultz is the number 2 target. He might not be. It could be David Montgomery.
No.
David Montgomery puts up 1 week where he has more targets than Dalton Schultz. Me going, see, Walker?
Yeah, and it will happen literally once all season.
Yeah, it's going to be week 1. It's going to be great. that year, Joe Mixon was, again, 13th in carries, 15th in targets. He was 30th in yards per touch, 45th in true yards per carry, and 26th in yards created per touch. So aggressively average. Flip this to David Montgomery last season, where he didn't get a lot of volume, but he was 19th in yards per touch, so better. 32nd in true yards per carry, better. 29th in yards created per touch. Oops, about the same. What you see is a bell cow style individual, very similar to late career Joe Mixon in the past. And this is the type of player that, despite being aggressively average, can put up a ton of fantasy points on volume alone. So that's reason 1. Reason 2, how does the Houston Texans defense play into this? Well, Jeff, thanks for asking. This will the Texans defense last season did a great job of putting the Texans offense on the field a lot and in good position. And there's no reason to think that'll change this year. The Texans D last season ranked third in yards per drive allowed at 25.4, knocked the least time off the clock on defense, 2 minutes and 35 seconds per drive, allowed the lowest scoring rate per drive as well. All this adds up to an offense that will be on the field a lot while nursing leads in the second half. And guess what? That's David Montgomery time, baby. David Montgomery is RB 23, pick 52 overall. David Montgomery or Quinshon Judkins?
Judkins.
Yeah, I don't want Judkins.
Wrong. David Montgomery or DeAndre Swift?
Swift. Montgomery.
Mike correct, Walker wrong. David Montgomery. What? I have DeAndre Swift as my RB 12. Don't forget that.
Oh, right.
That's got to change, but that's currently the situation. David Montgomery or Bucky?
Montgomery.
Correct. David Montgomery or Tyler Warren?
Tyler Warren.
Alec Pierce. Warren.
Tyler Warren or Drake May.
Tyler Warren.
No. David Montgomery or Drake May.
Drake.
So, what you're both saying is that if you're like out and about, you're gonna draft him on your cell phone?
No. Go away.
When you need a cube. That's short for QB. Mike, that's a Drake reference.
Is it?
You know, the pedophile. All right. David Montgomery. David Montgomery or Mike Evans?
Montgomery.
Evans.
All right. Woody Marks is also on this team and is possibly going to steal touches from David Montgomery, though I doubt he does enough to really stymie DeMont's production. We saw last season that Marks doesn't have bell cow back in his bag of tricks, though he does have a path forward on a team bereft of talented pass catchers, the Joshua Dobbie McKissick role. That's what JD stands for, by the way. I personally still contend that Marks is the best running back pass catcher in the 2025 draft class, not named Ashton Jeanty, but he simply did not have the opportunity to thrive in that role, getting 36 targets. But his primary usage in fantasy drafts is a David Montgomery hedge. If you don't believe in David Montgomery, then you should be taking a shot on Woody Marks. He's actively not a good running back, but hey, even he had 14.6 opportunities last season, which guess what? That's another point in David Montgomery's favor. A guy who wasn't good had 15 opportunities per game last season. Woody Marks is RB 44, pick 135 overall. Marks or Algier?
Algier,
yeah.
Marks or Tracy?
Marks.
Tracy. I
already did Marks or C-Rod. Marks or Shuh?
Huh?
Marks or Shuh?
Shuh? I'll go Shuh.
Yeah, Shuck.
You both shook me all night long, folks. Marks or Mander.
There's the episode title.
Woo. Yeah, we got there. Marks or Mandrews?
Mandrews.
All right. Marks or Jaden Higgins?
That's interesting.
I guess Higgins.
I'll go Marks.
I'm going to go with disgusted noise.
Yes, my involuntary ugh.
All right, that's it for the Houston Texans running backs. Wide receivers, Mike. Nico Collins and a bunch of bums.
Pretty much. Nico Collins has now managed back-to-back-to-back wide receiver one seasons, wide receiver 9, 8, and 7. In fantasy points per game. Impressive that Collins has managed to do this despite Stroud's struggles over the last 2 years. Last year, among 109 qualifying receivers, Collins was 15th in target share, 8th in receiving yards per game, 5th in deep targets, 16th in first reach share, and 19th in first downs per route run. Collins also had a career high A dot of 100. That'd be something. of 12.7 in 2025, which unsurprisingly lowered his yak per reception and catch rate. this figures to be a low volume pass offense, and Stroud has many options as he has ever had at wide receiver. Collins is a low end wide receiver one who should be drafted in back half of round two in full PPR drafts.
Yeah, I mean, I think Nico Collins is, as long as he's on the field, he is going to be a top six wide receiver. He just kind of always misses a few games here and there.
Exactly.
Yeah, Walker, I mean, yeah, if he stays healthy all season, he should easily be top 12, but he usually just doesn't end up with quite the target figure, or maybe he misses a game here or there, right? On raw projections, I have him wide receiver 13. I feel like I will probably have him around 10 or 11 when I do my final rankings. So, yeah, maybe 10. So I would say, yeah, middle of the second round, maybe. End of the second round. I maybe a tiny bit higher on him than you guys, but not significantly.
Okay, so you're out on the whole top six guy. Is it because of injury?
Oh, I don't. Yeah, I just he just doesn't get as high of a target number. You know, he doesn't get the high target number like even Rishi Rice or CeeDee Lamb or anything. And then I really with I would have Pickens just barely ahead of him, but that's just because the offense is a lot better.
Okay, that's fair. I think I'm taking Nico ahead of Pickens because he is the wide receiver one factor,
and that's also fair.
Yeah. So all right, Mike, I have to remind me after the episode is over. I have to talk Expendables something with you.
Sure.
Okay. Cool. All right. Who are the bums? You've got bums there too.
Yeah, Jaden Higgins and Tank Dell are the bums. Higgins is one of the several late rounds receivers who could have breakout potential in 26. Part-time player in 2025, Higgins was second on the Texans in end zone targets and tied with Nico Collins for the team lead with 6 receiving touchdowns. Last year, in weeks 8 through 18, Higgins had 7 finishes as a wide receiver 3 or better. Weekly scoring during that stretch, Higgins among 119 qualifying receivers also ranked 24th in targets per route run rate. Higgins was also 28th in yards per route run and 25th in route win rate as perimeter receivers. And that's about it. I got more, but I'm not going to go through this with
Higgins. Not worth the effort.
Exactly. And then do you guys want to talk about Higgins or just go into Tank Dell?
I mean, I don't really have much of an interest in the depth Houston Texans guys. Walker, you might have some insight on who might be the better upside play for best ball folks, but I'm kind of staying away from the Texans outside of Nico Collins and David Montgomery. So I don't really have much of an interest in that.
Okay.
Yeah. Walker. I mean, the where they're all going is pretty far outside of super relevant range. I mean, Higgins is at wide receiver 54, which I think is a little too high. I would rather take a shot on Dell at wide receiver 76 because he's free and he's produced before, but with the injury history, I could definitely understand being he's not going to do anything because he's going to be hurt. And I like Jalen Noel as a prospect, but he's just kind of blocked out of targets. So I would kind of also just stay away from it and find a different offense to take a shot on.
Okay. That's kind of how I feel.
Yeah. As far as Tank Dell goes, he's participating in OTAs, and team drills, and should be viewed as a wide receiver 3, with upside if he can be healthy. So that's as far as with Tank Dell goes.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be healthy. I saw a video of him at camp, and it legitimately looked like one of his legs was bigger than the other one.
Oh, jeez.
Okay. Yeah, not super interested.
Me either.
Yeah. I think that's it.
That is all it, right. Indeed.
Maybe ending with the group of players we called the Bums might not have been the most fireworks ending.
We had the Bums at the bottom, folks.
Folks, that's right. Ass. Woo. So, all right. Thanks for listening. We started with Daniel Jones. We ended with the Texans wide receivers, or as they call it, ass to ass. Damn, got him. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. We will be back next week in the Patreon feed to talk the AFC East. Just to recap, Mike, you're talking Miami. Walker, you're talking the Buffalo Bills. I'm talking the New England Patriots. We are not talking about Geno Smith. And we are talking about the rest of the Jets. So, for Mike and Walker, this is Jeff. Thanks for listening. Take care and have a good one.
Bye.
Bye.